Today's shir in Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Vav. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Morris Myers, Moshe ben Eliezer. All the Mishamas we learn for Shadav and Aliyah. We begin on the second line on the top from Chav Vav Amud Aleph. And we begin discussing this subject we were talking about yesterday, who is Potter from sitting in the Sukkah. So Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Amar Rechananya ben Akavya. Rechananya ben Akavya tells us the following rule. Kosvei Svarim. People that write Sifrei Torah, Tefillin u'mezuzos, this is what's referred to in the vernacular as Stam, Sifrei Torah, Tefillin u'mezuzos. So those people are involved, Osek in the Mitzvah, providing these for other people. So Hain, they themselves, the Tagorehen, and the middlemen, the people that go and sell for them, as Rashi says, Halokrim mehen, kidei limkor, ulhamtzion, lutzorich lahem, those that go and make sure that these are distributed to the people in need. Again, we're talking here that it's not purely for parnasa. They're talking about supplying people who don't have Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos and need them on Sukkos. So those people and the middlemen, the ones that write them, as well as the middlemen, the tagre tagarem, and the next step down in the sale, so not only the warehousers, but also the people that actually are the storekeepers, all those involved in the sales of these stam, of these very important items, v'chola oskin b'melechas shemayim, or anyone else that's involved in melechas shemayim. What is melechas shemayim? So Gemara tells us, lasuyeh, this comes to include mochrei tchelis, those that sell tchelis for the tzitzis. So all of these people are doing avodas Hashem, they're osek b'mitzvah, and therefore they're potter from sitting in the sukkah. And not only that, peturim mikriyashma, they don't have to go and say kriyashma, that's how important they are. Umin ha-tvila, they don't have to go say shmona esrei. Umin ha-tvilin, and they don't even have to put on tvilin. We call mitzvahs amuris b'torah, and all the mitzvahs in the Torah, they don't have to go and perform them because they are busy doing this holy work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, we're talking here about people that are providing this essential service, and there would be no other way for people to have the Sifrei Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, or Tcheles, and therefore, that's why they're parted from doing all the other mitzvos. Now, this is in accord with the Kayim Divrei Yosei Glili, Shehayor Yosei Glili Omer, Ha'osek B'mitzvah, Potim in a Mitzvah. This is in accord with what we learned yesterday, that if somebody's involved in doing a mitzvah, so they're doing the first mitzvah, so they're parted doing for the second mitzvah. The second mitzvah, so to say, doesn't even get off the ground. And that's why these people who are doing this L'shem Shemayim, they're doing this not to make parnasa, they don't have a store that they're waiting for people to walk in. No, they're providing these essentials for somebody who needs them right now, so therefore they're allowed to go and be potter from other mitzvos. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Holchei Drachim Bayom, people that are going on the road during the daytime, as Rashi explains, Dechsiv Basukos Teshu, Kein Yeshivas Beiso, you're supposed to sit in the sukkah just like you would in your house, and Kishem Shekol Hashana, Eino Nimna Milechis Baderech Bishora, just like a person all year long. He doesn't sit in his house all day, he goes out to work. So kach koyimos hachag, so too during Sukkos. She'enu yomtiv, of course, the days that aren't yomtiv. Lo hitzrichu hakosov limnoa. Torah doesn't expect you not to do the things that you do all year long. So teshu came to do it, just like you live in your house all year long, but you don't necessarily stay in your house all day. So too, the Torah doesn't demand that you stay in the Sukkah all day. If somebody can, kol hakavod, kol hamarba, reza meshubach. However, Torah doesn't demand that you stay in your house all day long during Sukkos, because you don't stay in your house all day long. So therefore, somebody who has to go on the road, so he's allowed to do so, peturim in a sukkah bayom. He doesn't have the requirement to go and stay in the sukkah during the daytime. However, b'chayav b'layla, since he would come home at night during the rest of the year, so too he comes home now, so he has to stay in the sukkah at night. Vice versa, holchei drachim b'layla, somebody has to travel at night, peturim in a sukkah b'layla, so then that person has no obligation to be in the sukkah at nighttime, just like teshu tkenk tadura, all year long. If he was traveling at night, he wouldn't be in his house. So too, he's allowed to travel at night and be parted from sukkah. However, this person would then be home during the daytime, during the year. So, too, during Sukkot, he has to be in the Sukkot during the daytime. Holchei drachim bayom v'layla, somebody's traveling both day and night, he's on a business trip, he's traveling, so then peturim min ha-sukkah, bein bayom bein v'layla. Then he technically is exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkot, both during the day and during the nighttime, just like the rest of the year as well. And finally, the fourth category is holchem v'var mitzvah, those that are involved in going to v'var mitzvah. They are peturim from the sukkah, bein bayom bein v'layla. They don't have to go eat in the sukkah both during the day and during the nighttime. And Rashi points out, afa pi she'en holchem ela bayom, you know, they're only traveling during the daytime. Umishum de tridim, the doagim, b'machsheves ha-mitzvah, u'b'tikuneha, pturim in a mitzvah, since they're going to be involved in their performance of mitzvah. Let's say they're doing the mitzvah pidgin shuyim, so they have to go do all sorts of financial transactions at night to make sure they have the money for the pidgin shuyim. They have to make calls, they have to do all sorts of things. So these people are osek in the mitzvah even at nighttime. They're tarried in the mitzvah at night, they're making their travel arrangements, etc. So therefore, they're pater not only during the daytime, but even at night as well. And again, we stress that this is not to say this is a blanket exemption for anybody doing any of these things. It's when it's impossible for them to do both. If it's impossible for them to go and sit in the sukkah, so then they have a hetter not to sit in the sukkah. If they're traveling during the day, they're traveling at night, they're traveling day and night, they're traveling to do a dvar mitzvah, so they have a hetter when the hetter is appropriate not to be chayiv in the sukkah. However, if they could do both, so then halacha l'maisa, they have to do both. Now, the last case we described was somebody who's osek b'mitzvah is pater from sukkah during the day and the night time. An example of that is Kihod de Rav Chista, the Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Kihavu Aile b'shabsa de Rigla, Levei Reish Kalu. So when they went up for the Shlosh Regalim, and here it's talking about sukkah, so they went up on the Shabbos of the Regal to go to visit the Reish Kalusa, to go hear his shir and to be Makabal Panov of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Reish Kalusa. Havu Ganu Araksa de Sura. So then they didn't sleep in a sukkah, but instead they slept on Araksa. Rashi tells us it's Asvas and Ahar on the banks of the river of Sura, because they were Osek B'mitzvah. Amri, they said, Anan Shluchei Mitzvah Anan. We are doing the mitzvah of, Rashi explains, Shabbanu Lishmo Hadrasha, number one, the learning Torah, and number two, Lahakbil Pnei Reish Kalusa, and to visit the Rosh Hashiva, the Reish Kalusa. Sometimes it was the secular head, but sometimes it was also the Rosh Yeshiva. So they were visiting the Rosh Yeshiva, the Reish Kalusa, and they were there for Shluchei Mitzvah, and therefore Upturin Min HaSukkah. And therefore they felt that they were exempt from the Sukkah. They couldn't have done it any other way. I'm sure if they could have constructed or made a Sukkah, they would have been able to do so as well. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn the following brayso: Shomrei Ya'ir Bayom, Patur Min HaSukkah Bayom. Another brayso telling us who's exempt from the mitzvah sukkah. So those people that are the guards of the city, so they're watching the city during the daytime, so obviously they're Patur Min HaSukkah because they're watching the city. However, Chayom Malayla, when they go home at night, of course they sit in the sukkah. The people that are the night watchmen, Shomrei Ya'ir Malayla, so those people, Patur Min HaSukkah Malayla, so they're exempt obviously from sitting in the sukkah at the nighttime. However, when they go home during the daytime, they sleep in the sukkah, they eat in the sukkah, Chayom Bayom. Those people that are both the night watchmen and the day watchmen, Shomer Ir, Ben Mayom, Ben Malayla, both day and night, they work on 24-hour shifts, so Turban HaSukkah, Ben Mayom, Ben Malayla, they're exempt from sitting in the sukkah both during the daytime and during the nighttime because they're doing this essential job. And Shomer Ginos Ufardesim, the people that were the watchmen's for the orchards and the gardens, so those people, Peturim Bein Bayom Ubein Balayla, so they're also exempt through the daytime and the nighttime because they're watching the fields to protect them from the animals, protect them from thieves, etc. Gemara says, V'liyad de sukkah hosan leisu, wait a second, they're out in the field. Why don't they just sit in the sukkah out in the field? Why don't we make them make a sukkah where they are? So Gemara says, Abai Amar, because the pasuk tells us, Teishu kein taduru, it's like you would all year long, since all year long, if you'd watch your fields, your orchards, your gardens, and you wouldn't go make a house over there, but you would come back to your house when you could come back to your house. So too, during sukkahs, the same idea applies. It's Teishu kein taduru. You have to go and be in the same way that you would during the year. And since you wouldn't be in your house when you're watching these fields, so you're not mechuyev to do so when you're in sukkahs watching the fields. Rashi expands on this and he says, Kedarashu dor, it's the way that you live all year long, kol hashana b'veso, his kikaso Torah la niach diroso v'la dor kam b'sukkah. The way you live in your house, that would be the way you have to live in the sukkah, which means im mitosa, with your beds, uklei tashmishu, umetzaosav, all the other utensils that you need to live. V'zehni yochol avim shom, ibn ha-torach. This guy's not going to bring his bed out to the field, he's not going to bring his mattress and his other utensils out to the field. That's why Abaye says it's potter because it's not teishu kein taduru. Rava gives an alternative answer. Rava Omar, Pirtsa, Koroleganov. If you have a breach over here in the protection, so then that's essentially an announcement to the Ganovim, come. Rashi says this is a moshul head joke. This is the popular aphorism that people say that Avkan Haganov Roa Oso Yoshi Besukah Balaila Vunichnas Vagoni Veperos Leruach Acheres. The Ganov sees that you're sitting there in the security booth, and he goes behind the security booth and he steals from over there. So Rava says this is an open invitation to all the Ganovim. If you're sitting in a sukkah, and as opposed to you're able to view 360 degrees, because the sukkah has three walls. They didn't have windows necessarily. So the 360 degrees visibility for the watchman is impaired. So the ganav will come and steal you blind. And therefore, that's why Rava says you're not mechuyev to sit in the sukkah. Gemara says, is there a difference? Might be nayu between Abaye's reasoning of Teshu Kengaduru and Rav's reasoning of Pirtsa Korolagana. So Gemara says, yeah, ikum nayu to come nanter kaya de peri. It depends what you're watching. If you're watching something, let's say Sukkah has three walls, and you have Rashi says a kri shel perushu tomid lufonim, and there's this pile of fruit that's right in front of him, yochel shomer, and from the sukkah you can watch it. The ain kan Pirtsa Korolaganim. There is no invitation, open invitation over here to the Ganovim to come and steal, because you're watching it perfectly well. So why can't you be in a sukkah? So according to Rava, if it's something that you could watch without it being a Pirtsa Korolaganim, you're obligated to sit in the sukkah. However, according to Abaye, this is still not Teshu Kengaduru. You would not be obligated. Then we quote the Mishnah where it said, Cholim u'misham sheyem. We said that the person who Rachman Islan is sick, or the people that are taking care of the sick person, the nurses, the aides that are taking care of the sick person, all of them are potum in a sukkah. The Bryce expands on this. Tana Rabbanon, Choleh She'amru, this sick person we're talking about is not Lo Choleh She'esh B'Sukkah. It's not only a life-threatening illness person. It's not only a person who's going to die, Rachman Olitzlan, if you don't take care of him. El Afilu Choleh She'esh B'Sukkah. This is even talking about a person who has a minor injury. Baruch Hashem, he's not going to die for this injury. No, he's sick. He has a fever. He has the flu. And B'ezus Hashem, he's going to be okay, but he needs somebody to help take care of him right now. So this is allowed for the sick person as well as those that are taking care of the sick person, even if it's not life-threatening illness, to go and be exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. And this is true, afilu chosh b'einav, even if the person only has a problem with his eyes, he has some eye pain, he has some vision problems, afilu chosh b'rosh, or if he just has a headache, all of these situations are enough to exempt the person from a sukkah, because he's a mitzvah. This person is in difficulty, in distress, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, only people that aren't in difficulty are obligated in sukkah, but if you're a mitzvah, you put them in a sukkah. And he says, Pamachas chashti be'enai b'kisare. One time I was in Kisaria and I had a headache, and the hiter Rabbi Yossi Beribi. Rabbi Yossi was the god of Lador. Beribi is a title of respect. It's like Shlito, it's like Rash Bahak. And Rashi points out this was Yosef HaChochem, Chorev Shebedoro. He was the god of Lador. Beribi is a really a high title of respect. And who was this Rabbi Yossi? This was Yosef HaChalafta, Rashi says. In any event, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, once I was by Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, Rabbi Yossi Beribi, and he had this headache while he was in Caesarea, and he permitted me, Lishon Ani Umasham Shai, Chutz L'Sukkah. He permitted me, with the headache, and even the people taking care of me, to go and not be obligated in Sukkah, to sleep outside the Sukkah. Similarly, Rav Shorol, Rav Acha Bardla, Rav once gave permission to Rav Acha Bardla, that was his name, Bardla, Lemigna Bechilasa Besukkah, to go and sleep underneath this Kilas HaSukkah. Remember, we had this early in the Masechta. This was a special canopy type bed, which Rashi reminds us, it has a tefach wide, at least horizontal roof, and it's at least 10 tefachim tall, and this is like a dwelling inside the sukkah, which ruins the sukkah for you. So nevertheless, Rav permitted Rav Acha Bardla to sleep underneath such a kilas sukkah, mishum baki, because of these baki. What a baki? So Rashi tells us baki are a foreign word known as tzinlish, and the lazi Rashi tells us that this is yitushim, various types of insects, or zvuvim katanim, small types of flies that were very annoying and bothersome to him. Now, he could have told him to sleep in the house. He didn't have to sleep underneath this kila, this canopy bed in the sukkah. He could have slept in the house too. So why did he sleep in this bed in the sukkah? So Tosu seems to suggest over here in Dibra Maskel Mishum Baki, he says, even though we learned previously in the first parak on Daf Yud Aleph that Mutar Lishem Dechilas Chasanim, that there was an opinion that says you could sleep under this and be Yotzi the mitzvah sukkah, so Afapi Sheyesh Lo Gag, even though the sukkah has a horizontal gag, Afapi Shugvo Asar, even though it's 10 Tvachim Tual, Ein halacha kirabo or ein halacha kain kidibirashti shah. That's not how we paskin. But the stomach, what Tosus is suggesting, that he wanted to at least fulfill the mitzvah according to this opinion of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, and even though that's not how we paskin, he says, listen, rather than sleeping in the house, I'd rather sleep over here in this kila, in the sukkah, and at least possibly be yotzi this opinion of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, rather than just sleep in the house. But in any event, Rab gave permission to Rav Acha Bar Adla also not to sleep in the sukkah because of these bothersome insects, gives him its start. Similarly, Rava, Shorolei l'Rabbi Acha Bar Adda, Rava gave permission to Rabbi Acha Bar Adda, l'migna to sleep, bar mi mitalta, outside the sukkah. Mitalta is the shade, outside the schach, outside the sukkah. Why? Mishum sircha de gargishta, because of a certain type of a very bad odor that came from this white sand. Rashi explains this is karko levono, this white sand, show you tochin ba karko is a sukkah, that they used to go and put in the floor of the sukkah. For most people, this wasn't a bad thing. This was actually a good thing. However, he was especially sensitive to this odor. Maybe he had an allergy to it, to whatever it was. And therefore, Rava gave permission to Riacha Barad. This was the only sukkah that was available. So he said, you don't have to sleep in the sukkah. You're parted from the sukkah. And Rava l'taimei. Rava went according to his reasoning elsewhere. The Omer Rava. Rava said, mitzdar potim in a sukkah. If somebody is mitzdar, and Ravacha bar Ada was obviously mitzdar from this type of sircha de gargishta, so therefore he was potim in a sukkah. Ay, the Gemara says, we learned in the Mishnah of Anan, our Mishnah, cholin umimisham sheyem, peturim in a sukkah. That seems to imply that only a sick person and the attendants, the aides for the sick person, are potim in a sukkah. Chola in mitzdar lo, but that seems to go against what Rava said, that a mitzdar is potim in a sukkah. It seems to say only a chola. There's a difference between being a chola, it's a higher level, than a mitzdar, somebody just in distress. So Gemara says, no. Chola who umishamishav biturim. By the chola, not only is the chola exempt, but also his attendants, his aides are exempt. Mitzdar, however, who potter? Only the mitzdar is potter, mishamishav lo. But the people that are mishamish, the mitzdar, they're not potter, because the mitzdar doesn't need those aides as essentially. Obviously, if a person is Rahman al-Islam, incapable of taking care of himself, he needs aid. So those aids are potter as well from the sukkah, because they're dealing the osek with the mitzvah, taking care of this person. Then we quote the Mishnah where it said, "Ochlin achilas aroy chutz l'sukkah." One is permitted to eat a snack, a achilas aroy, outside of the sukkah. Again, we'd explain, this is based upon the idea that a person eats a snack outside his house as well. So the principle of teshu kein teduru doesn't mean that you must eat every single thing inside the sukkah, because just like you wouldn't eat every single thing inside your house, you're not mechuyev to eat every single thing inside the sukkah. However, it says, kol hamarbe harei zeh meshubach, if somebody does go and try to make every effort to go and eat even a glass of water inside the sukkah, that's meshubach. Again, I pointed out previously, say it again, this is assuming that it won't cause a tremendous decrease in your Simchas Yontif. I think it was brought down from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal that if a person is very thirsty, for example, and he's not going to be able to get to a sukkah for 2-3 hours, he's on his way home and he's very, very thirsty. So, okay, you wait for somebody at home, that's not the end of the world. But he's very, very thirsty right now. So he's going to be thirsty for 2-3 hours, so that's destroying his Simchas Yontif. In that situation, Shlomo Zalman seems to suggest that the person's a hedyot, he's a fool, if he doesn't take the drink of water, as opposed to trying to do the mitzvah of eating and drinking everything in the sukkah, which is a beautiful thing. So if you have a sukkah easily available, you're in your kitchen and you want a glass of water, and you can walk outside to the porch, which is 20 feet away, and you can have the glass of water in the sukkah. So then a person who wants to go and obligate himself to drink that glass of water in the sukkah, that's meshubach, that's very praiseworthy. However, if it's going to be a 2-3 hour wait till he can have that glass of water, and he's going to be in distress because he's thirsty for an yontif, or even a cholamoy, for 2-3 hours, so that he calls a hedyot. He says that's not appropriate. In any event, kamo achilas aroy. How do we define a snack, an achilas aroy, a temporary, a transitory type of an eating? So Amar Yosef, Yosef says that a gears that we have is tarte otlos bei. He says it's the amount of 2 or 3 eggs. Now, if it's 2, so then it's certainly 3. If it's, you know, why we say 2 or 3? So some say this is going like the two different opinions, the famous machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. What is the shear of a pras, whether it's 3 eggs or is it 4 eggs? So it's, when he says these opinions over here, of 2 or 3, he's referring to those 2 shittas, that it's up to 3 or up to 4. In any event, that's the gears that we have. Rashi has a slightly different gears. Rashi has the gears over here of tarti otlos shtayim o sholosh pa'amim. Piv. He says you put 2 or 3 in there. He has a foreign language word that looks like the word morsels. I don't know if that's what it is, but this foreign language word that the Lazi Rashi tells us means chatichos, pieces. Or it means pita, like little pitas. So in any event, these are small amounts of food. That is considered less than an achilas keva. That's a snack, a temporary type of an eating, and that is permitted outside of the sukkah min haddin. Amar Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, wait a second. Oh, zimnin, sagin, sagi, le'inish, b'hochi. This amount of 2 or 3 beitzim, according to the gears that we have, or 2 or 3 portions, according to the gears of Rashi, so that could be enough to make a person actually satisfied. Bahavale sudas keva. That turns this sudas aroy into a sudas keva. So that's too much. So therefore, Abaye changed his opinion. El Omar Abaye, kidetoyim bar beirav v'oyel lakala. This is the amount of food that a Talmud would have before he would go out to the yeshiva. The kala was the special learning that they set up. This was the original daf yomi that they would go learn before the yomim tovim, before Pesach, and before Sukkot. They would learn a masechta, and they went through all the masechtas over a 30-year period of time. There are 60 masechtas, and they would go through them 2 every year, and it would take them 30 years to go through this original daf yomi cycle. In any event, this is the kala, this was the yeshiva. Before they would go out to the yeshiva, they would take a bite, and that is what is considered an achilas aroy. Tarabon, we learn in the Braisa, Ochlin Achilas Arai Chutzal Sukkah. The Braisa says, like our Mishnah, that you're allowed to eat this Achilas Arai outside the Sukkah. However, as opposed to eating, but a little nap, a dremel, that you're not allowed to take outside the Sukkah. So there's a distinction over here between eating, which is allowed as a snack, as opposed to the equivalent of a snack by sleeping, a little bit of a nap, that's not allowed outside the Sukkah. How come? The Gemara says, my time up. So I'm Ravashi, the first teretz that we give is from Ravashi, he says, Gezeiro Shema Yerode. We're concerned that if you take a little nap, you're going to fall asleep. And if you fall asleep, that's going to cause you to go and be over sleeping in the Sukkah. You're going to be sleeping outside the Sukkah, so don't take a nap because that's going to come to lead. That's the equivalent of the Achilas Arai. So here, the nap is going to lead to a sleeping of keva outside the Sukkah, and that's why it's a problem. As opposed to eating food, if you have a little snack, it doesn't mean you're going to eat the full meal. So that's why Rav Ashi says there's a distinction between eating an Achilas Arai, which is allowed outside the Sukkah, as opposed to sleeping, the equivalent of a Yeshinas Arai, which is a nap outside the Sukkah, which is not allowed. Abaye doesn't like this teretz. Amale Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Ashi, Eloha de Tanya, how do you explain the folly, Abaye? That it says, Yoshi Nodum Shinas Arai Betfilin, Avalo Shinas Keva. If a person in the Braisa says that he's allowed to go and sleep a little bit with his tefillin on, he can take a nap with his tefillin on, Nishina Sarai, the concern with the tefillin is that you may come to pass gas while you're wearing your tefillin, and that's a terrible thing while you're wearing your tefillin, a terrible bizoyan to the tefillin, and therefore, we normally don't allow, halacha l'maaseh, you're not allowed to sleep at all with your tefillin on, but this Braisa says, a little nap is not a big deal that you're allowed to, but you can't have a shinas keva wearing your tefillin. So, if you're concerned, the Abaye says to Rav Ashi, Shema Yerodeim by the Sukkah, so you should be concerned over here too. Lecho Shema Yerodeim by the Tefillin. If you're allowed to take a little nap with your Tefillin, before you know it, you have 6 hours, 8 hours of sleep, and Rechman al-San, a person's going to pass gas where he's wearing his Tefillin while he's sleeping. So why aren't you concerned about that over here too? The Gezerah of Shema Yerodeim should apply not only to Sukkah, it should apply as well to Tefillin. So how come it isn't? So Rabbi Yosef, brother Rabbi Loi. So Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Loi, says, "B'moser sheinah soliachem." Oh, he has a shomer on him. He tells the person, "Listen, I want to take a 5 minute dremel over here. I'm going to take a 5 minute nap. I just need a quick power nap, and therefore wake me up in 5 minutes." So Rabbi says, "That's not a good suggestion." Masiv lo b'masharisha arvech arvot zarech. The watchman is also going to fall asleep. So maybe, you know, who's going to watch the watchman? In other words, this isn't an acceptable solution. We can't trust this person to definitely wake you up after 5 minutes. Mastam, he might fall asleep too, right? Mastam, it's nighttime, and everybody's tired. So therefore, Rav Shashi says that's not a good suggestion. So no, what's the reason why you're not allowed to have a Shinas Arai outside the Sukkah? So the Gemara says, Allah, Amar Rav Bar Bar Chana, Amar Yochanan. So Rav Bar Bar Chana said the name of Yochanan, B'maniach Rosho B'in Birko V'askinim. We're only talking here a person that just puts his head down in between his knees. And in this situation, it's very unlikely that a person is going to actually fall asleep. So in this Braisa that said, that Yoshin Odom Shinas Arai B'tfilin, it's talking about not even a nap. He's not sitting in a comfortable chair. He just put his head down. And therefore, in that situation, it's unlikely that he's going to end up falling asleep. So therefore, there's no concern of Shema Yerodeim. So Mestame, in the Sukkah as well, that would be acceptable. There is no Gzeirah of Shema Yerodeim. The person just puts his head down. Rava gives a second teretz. Rava Mar, Ein Kevel Ashina. Rava says, no, the whole premise is wrong. There is no allowance even for a Shinas Arai, because even a Shinas Arai can, so to say, satisfy you, and therefore you're sleeping outside the Sukkah. It doesn't make a difference if you're sleeping a little bit or a lot. A little bit of sleep, a power nap also will be very helpful to a person, as opposed to a snack. A person has a little snack, he's still hungry, it's not going to cause him to go and be satisfied. And therefore, in this situation, Achilas Arai is allowed, Rava says. However, Shinas Arai is not allowed, because Ein Keva L'Shina. Again, Halacha L'Maisa, for those that do sleep in the Sukkah, again, Shulchan Aruch gives many reasons why a person might have a heter not to sleep in the Sukkah, but for those that sleep in the Sukkah, so they try to sleep everything in the Sukkah, even a nap. Tani Chod, we learned in one bright, so Yoshi Nodem Tefillah Shinas Arai, a person is allowed to sleep with his tefillin, a Shinas Arai, Avalo Shinas Keva, but not a Shinas Keva. That's bright number one, says Arai, yes, Keva, no. Bright number two says, V'tanya Idoch, Ben Keva, Ben Arai, yes, both are allowed. You can even sleep a Shinas Keva with your tefillin on. So obviously this is his explanation, and it contradicts the first brisa. And finally, the third brisa, V'tanya Yidach, lo keva v'lo arai. Not only are you not allowed to sleep with Shinas Keva, you're not even allowed to sleep with Shinas Arai. So again, all three brisos seem to be mutually contradictory. Again, one says neither is good, one says both are good, and one says, okay, Arai, yes, Keva, no. So what's going on? So one says, lo kasha. It's not a problem. There's no steer between the three brises. We're all talking about three different scenarios. So the brisa that it talks about, lo keva v'lo arai, Shema yiplu miyado, it's because you're concerned that the tefillin may come from your hands, is denokit luhu bidei. That's talking about you're holding the tefillin in your hands, so you better not take a nap while you're holding the tefillin in your hands, because they're going to fall out of your hands. So therefore, the Braisa, it says, lo kev of a lo aroi, he's talking about not a person wearing the tefillin, he's talking about a person holding the tefillin. There you can't take even a little nap. The Braisa, it says, aroi mutu v'keva osur, because shema yofia, because Rashi says that you're allowed to only have a short little nap while you're wearing the tefillin, and not a real sleep. So that's talking about hod manche bereshit. That's when you're talking about wearing your tefillin. So a very quick nap, we're not concerned shema yofiach, as opposed to if you fall asleep for a while. So then we are concerned shema yofiach. And the braisa that says the both are allowed. So that is talking about deparis ha deparis sudra ilave. That's when you're covering up the tefillin. You took them off. Hinicha meitzav miyashu sov. Rashi says ben keva ben aroi. Both of them are allowed. The lo nitaru lebalchei asharis. That a person who takes off his tefillin. They used to wear the tefillin all day long. So a person needs to take a little nap. So he takes off his tefillin and he puts a cover over them. Puts it back in the tefillin bag. So in that situation, you can have even a shinas keva. In that situation, they put the tefillin next to them, and this way the tefillin wouldn't be lost, and you wouldn't have a problem with shem yafiyah because you're not wearing your tefillin, and this could be done even a shinas keva. So that's the reconciliation of these three braises. They're all talking about three different scenarios. Now, how do we define a shinas aroi? What is the duration? We talked about achilas aroi, which you said was a certain amount of food. So how do we define a shinas aroi, a nap? The kama shinas aroi. So Tony Rami by Yecheskel, Rami Yecheskel learned, kidei hiluch meya ama, the amount of time it takes a person to walk 100 amos. Again, lemaisa, there's a discussion about how long that would take, but the typical number that's brought down by many poskim, brought down in the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch, is that this is 54 shnios, 54 seconds. Others say a different amount. It's some relatively short period of time. Tanya Nami Yochri, but Bryce says the same thing. Hayoshe Mitzvillim, somebody sleeping with the Tvillim, the raw Kerry, and Rahman al Islam, he has a nocturnal emission, so he saw Kerry, he saw Zerah, so Olchez Britzur, he has to take off the Tvillim, and he does this without touching the Ketzitza, without touching the actual box of the Tvillim. He just removes his Tvillim by grabbing onto the Ritzuos and removing him that way. We turn to Chavov Mebez. The Eina Olchez Baketzitza, but he doesn't hold on to the actual box, which has more Kedusha than the straps. The box has the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Shel Rosh. The shins are the shame of Shakai. The Dalit is the knot. And the Yudiv we have on the Shel Yad. So you're not allowed to go touch the Ketzitza, the actual box. But the Ritzuos, you can. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. The Chum disagree with him in one respect. They agree that you can't grab onto the Ketzitza, but they disagree with his first part that he says, Hayoshe Mitzvillin. Seemingly, Rabbi Yaakov allows you to sleep even as Shinas Keva with the Tvillin on. And no, if you have a nocturnal emission, so then you'll have the problem. However, the Chacham say, no, Yoshin Odom Tvila Shina Saroi, you're allowed to sleep with your tefillin only a Shina Saroi, which is very unlikely that you'll have a nocturnal emission when it's just a short nap. Avalo Shinas Keva, but they don't allow you to have a Shinas Keva because of this concern. No, and what is the definition of Kamo Shina Saroi? Kitei Hiluch Mea Amma. So the Bais supports what we said, that it's the amount of time that it takes a person to walk 100 Amma, you know, roughly 150 to 200 feet, not a very long period of time. Like we said, 54 seconds or some short period of time. So that would be the definition of a Shina Saroi. Amar Rav, Rav says, also Yodim Lishon Bayom, a person shouldn't sleep during the daytime. Yose Mishina Sasus, more than a sus takes a nap. How much does a sus takes a nap? Hamashina Sasus, Shisit Nishme, 60 breaths. Again, some very short period of time. The post can have a whole discussion as to how much time this is. Some say it's a shorter time, some say a longer period of time. Bottom line is, that is the amount that you shouldn't sleep during the daytime. Why not? So Rashi tells us, because this is Bittul Torah. The person sleeps during the daytime. The daytime was made for learning Torah, and therefore a person shouldn't sleep during the daytime. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Shinsei Demar, the sleep of Demar, the master of, who's the master of Abaye? Sirashi reminds us, this is Rabbah Bar Nachmani. This is the famous Rabbah that we have throughout Shas. He was Abaye's Rebbe. So he taught him not to sleep during the daytime, and Shinsei Demar, Kidirah, his little taking of a nap during the daytime was the same shear that Rav had taught. Now, how did Rav know? Well, the Rav could the Rebbe. Rav had learned from his Rebbe, Yehuda Nasi. And where did Rebbe get his shear from? Well, the Rebbe could the David. He learned that from David HaMelech. And David HaMelech Kidususya. And David HaMelech slept no more than a horse sleeps. And how much is that? Udususya, she said Nishmi, 60 breaths. Again, Poskim say, this. Some suggest it's a half an hour. That's considered a Dremel over here. That's acceptable during the daytime to take you away from learning Torah, just to give you a power nap. That's allowed. But more than that, no. Others say it's even a shorter period of time. Others say it's a longer period of time. Abaye havi noyim kidimayel mipum pedisa lebe kuve. Abaye would take a nap. That was the length of the time that it would take to travel a person from Pumbedisa to Beikuvik, two different places. Now Rashi suggests that he heard elsewhere that this is a very long period of time, actually, that this is a period of time of Shisa Parsa, of six Parsa. A Parsa is 4 kilometers, roughly. So this would be 6 times 4, 24 kilometers. That's a pretty nice size nap. So someone, of course, should say that if this is the correct shear, because the Masoras HaShas brings down that Lo Eda Makomo. He doesn't know where Rashi got this from. He says Mabakum Acher. He doesn't know where he got this from. So some suggest that Sfasemis, that even if he did sleep this much, he didn't sleep all at once. And this was, he still slept the Shishim Nishmi at one time only, albeit he did it a lot of times. In any event, others suggest it was a much shorter distance, maybe only a mil. In any event, however this time was, Kori Alei Rav Yosef, his Rebbe Rav Yosef, Abaye learned by Rabba, Abaye learned by Rav Yosef, so his Rebbe Rav Yosef said about Abaye that that's too much time wasted. Ad Masai Otzel Tishkov, how long are you going to be lazy over here and sleep? Masai Toku Mishasech, when are you going to get up and go learn? In other words, even this short period of time, he felt was too long. Tana Rabban, we learn another brayso, Nichnas Lishon Bayom. If a person goes to sleep during the daytime, so Rotzo Choleitz, Rotzo Miniach. If he wants to take off his tefillin for this quick nap, he certainly should, or he's allowed to leave him on if he wishes to do so. That's during the daytime, and we're not concerned, as Rashi points out, that he's going to go home and have relations with his wife during the daytime. As Rashi says, Shein Karavoso Elishon, his intention, his kavanah, is not to do anything other than sleep. And he's not thinking about something else. In the middle of the day, he comes home to take a quick power nap. So he's not thinking about having relations with his wife. He's not thinking about taking a longer sleep. However, Balayla, if the person does the same thing at night, so then Cholitz, he has to take off his tefillin. He's not allowed to leave them on. This is the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hayilodim. Rabbi Yossi is not disagreeing with Rabbi Nosson. He's adding on. And he says, Hayilodim, younger boys, so then La'olam holds him. They always have to take off the tefillin, even if they take a little nap during the daytime. They're not allowed to leave the tefillin on. Why? Mipnei shirigilim betumah. Because it's much more likely a young person has thoughts that are going to lead him to have either a zera emission or lead him to have relations with his wife. And therefore, in this situation, he should take off his tefillin no matter what, even a little nap during the daytime. More wants to suggest, Lemo Kasava Rabbi Yossi Balkari also Niach Tillin. Based upon this, it would seem that he's concerned that he'll become a Balkari, so that's why he has to take off his Tillin. Balkari's not allowed to wear Tillin. So one says, not necessarily so. Amar Abaye, Bialodim Unishoseyem Imoin Askin. We're talking here about young boys, but we're not talking about children. We're talking here about young married men. And therefore, Shema Yavo Lide Hergil Dover, because they're younger men, so they may have relations with their wife, even at this what would not be considered the normal time to have relations with your wife, but because they're young men, so they may have relations with the wife then, and therefore that's why he said you should take off the tefillin, but not because of a concern that a Baal Keri is also laniach tefillin. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, Shochach, if a person forgot to take off his tefillin, Vishimesh mitasa b'tefillin, and he had relations with the wife with his tefillin. Again, this would be an impossible thing for us to imagine, because the vast majority of people don't wear the tefillin all day. They wear them only during Shachris. However, there are still people today that wear the tefillin all day long. You walk around in Yerushalayim, you see people wearing the tefillin all day long. They're sitting and learning in Beis Medrash, they're sitting and doing work even, and they're wearing the tefillin. If you can do this, call a kavod, but that's not the normal way that people wear tefillin today, and the reason is because it's very difficult to keep a clean mind and a clean body while you're wearing your tefillin, so we put our tefillin off of Shacharis and we take them off after Shacharis. So in those days, or even nowadays, if somebody's wearing the tefillin, they may not even realize that they have the tefillin on their head because they're so used to wearing them, and therefore this person forgot and he had relations with his wife while he's wearing his tefillin. So what should he do? So the Brisa says, Eino Olches Lo B'Ritzua, he's not allowed to grab onto the Ritzua, V'Lo B'Ktzitza, not even onto the box. What should he do? He should wash his hands. And then, after he washes his hands, he should take off his tefillin. Because when he had relations with his wife, he touched various parts of his body or her body that would make the hands tameh, and therefore you can't touch the tefillin, even by the ritzua, in that situation. As Rashi says, almost certainly, during the relations, they touched each other in places that would make the hands tameh, so therefore don't touch your tefillin, even by the ritzua, until you go and wash your hands. Next Mishnah. One time they brought, now this is a follow-up to what we just said, that technically, ben aden, a person is allowed to eat achila saroi outside the sukkah. But here we'll see that the custom of these two great tanoim, that the first two that we're going to have, Yochum and Zakkai, and Rabbi Gamliel, that they even ate an achila saroi in the sukkah. So Ma'is Vebi Lola Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai, Litom and Satav, they gave him to taste something to eat to see if it was right. And he said to bring it to the sukkah. Likewise, Lola Rabbi Gamliel, Shnei Kosovos, he brought to Rabbi Gamliel two dates, which is less than the shear of a kibetza, and they brought him udli shomayim and some water, which doesn't require you to be drinking it in the sukkah. And both of these two great tanaim, Yochum and Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel, told their attendants, "V'yamru halum l'sukkah, bring them to the sukkah, and I'll eat them over there. I'll taste the dish over there, or I'll eat the dates and the water in the sukkah." However, when they eat the Rabbi Tzadok food that was less than the shear of a kibetza, which we'll see is the shear for achilas aroi, so Rabbi Tzadok didn't have this practice. Not l'bimapa, he took it in a mapa. Now, this was bread, and he didn't want to go and wash the tilas yadayim. So he went and put it in a mapa, so he wouldn't have to wash the tilas yadayim. As Rashi says, lo notal yodov elokorach b'mapa yodov, he wrapped a cloth, a napkin, or something around his hand, mishum nekiyas, because of cleanliness. The ksavar, pachos b'kabetza, lo boyin nefilas yadayim. He said, if you're not eating a beitza worth of bread, you don't have an obligation to do nefilas yadayim, but you want to touch the food anyway. V'lo boy sukkah, likewise, it doesn't require sukkah if it's less than a kabetza, beitza or kles. V'lo boy b'chas amazah. And likewise, he held the opinion that you need, like Rabbi Yehuda, in the Gemara Brachos, some famous brachos, so Rabbi Yehuda, how much is the shear for a benching? So Rabbi says a kisayis, and Yehuda says it's a kabetza. So therefore, in all three of these things, Rabbi Yehuda was given the food. So not the b'mapa, he didn't wash his hands until yadayim, and he just put a napkin around his hands so he shouldn't touch the food with the dirty hands. There was no obligation, he said, to eat it in the sukkah. But he didn't make benching afterwards. Of course, he made a bracha before, and as Rashi points out, by bracha, any amount that you eat have a little taste, so you make a bracha on it. Shari nene, v'osu lenos min olam hazeh, below bracha, because it's forbidden to get hanor from this world without making a bracha. But a bracha achrona requires a certain shear, and he passing like Rabbi Yehuda that shear is a kibetza. Now the Gemara starts off and says, wait, the previous Mishnah said that you're only allowed to eat an achilas haroi outside the sukkah, but that means that you are allowed to eat an achilas haroi outside the sukkah. And here you bring a maisa listo, you're bringing these two tanoim, Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel, that they did otherwise, so you're bringing a maisa listar. So one says, no, chisuri mechsev ha'chitani. We left out some words over here in the Mishnah. Rebbe intentionally left them out because Rebbe wrote down the Mishnah, but as I mentioned many times, he occasionally left out things on purpose to remind us of the din. You're not really supposed to write down the Mishnahis. And chisuri mechsev ha'chitani, this was what left out. In bol ha'chma atzmo, no. The din is, as we said previously, that technically an achilas haroi is allowed to be eaten outside the sukkah, but if a person wants to be machmer on himself and eat even an achilas haroi inside the sukkah, machmer, you have the permission to do so. Why would you think that you can't? But less may mishum yuara. It doesn't make you look like an arrogant person. Oh, look at that tzaddik. He only eats stuff in the sukkah no matter what. Everybody else eats outside the sukkah, achilas haroi, and he eats in the sukkah. Oh, he's a yuara. He's an arrogant person. No, there isn't such a problem. And I'll show you that this is true because these two great gedolim, Ma'is and Nami, Bebiulo Yochum and Zakkai, Litom and Satashu, Lorvadim Gliel, Shtei Kosovos, Adi Shomayim. They brought these two, the equivalent of an achilas haroi, and we turn to Chavzayin and Aleph. And they both said, halam l'sukkah, bring them up to the sukkah, and we'll eat them in the sukkah, and it's not a problem of yorah. As opposed to, when they gave to Rabbi Tzadok an achilas haroi, less than a kibetza, not l'bamapa, he again didn't feel there was an obligation to do netilas yadayim, but for cleanliness purposes, he just wrapped a napkin around the sand so he shouldn't touch the food, he didn't eat it in the sukkah, this was less than the shear, and below berach achrov, and he didn't make a berach samazon on this bread, because it was less than the shear that he held was the shear for berach samazon. Ayur says, ha kibetza by sukkah, but wait a second, if it's a kibetza, it is requiring the sukkah. So lay matevi tiyutu, the Rav Yosef and Abaye, we had earlier in the shiur that Rav Yosef and Abaye, they each had a shiur of either two or three eggs, or we said the amount that a person eats before he goes to the kala, to the shiur, so that's a larger shiur than a kibetza. So it's a kash on Rav Yosef and Abaye. Shmuel says, no, dilma pachos mi kibetza, netil o brach lo bay. That's in regards to, if you take less than a kibetza, so then until a sedaim isn't necessary and a bracha of benching isn't necessary. However, ha kibetza, if you took a kibetza's worth, boy natil or bracha. They're arguing on that point that requires natil and bracha if you go and take a kibetza's worth. So that din wasn't specifically for sukkah. That din was telling us the kibetza was in regards to the dinim of washing the tilas yadayim and benching, but lav dafka for the shear of a sukkah. That could have been a different shear, like Abaya and Rav Yossi said. However, V'maisa, the shear of a kibetza is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and if you have less than a kibetza, we don't make a leisha basukkah. If you have more than a kibetza, so you're mechuyev to eat it in the sukkah, and it's from the mine dogon or pas, so then you make a leisha basukkah. With this, we conclude today's shear.